So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening in to another episode of my podcast today. I'm your host, Betty. We're talking about Outlander's fifth episode, Rent. A couple of things that, there's just one big thing that I discovered last night while looking at all my social medias. I discovered that I've been giving y'all the wrong Twitter handle. It's actually at talking about FU1. I know that sounds very weird, but it's all that's available. So again, that is at talking about FU1. So yeah, that's the Twitter handle where you can find me on Twitter. Discussions about the previous episode. When I was listening back to the podcast, I mentioned that, or I said that I didn't know exactly who won the straw drawing between Angus and Rupert. That was Angus that actually won that. And then also, I also pointed out that when Angus, you know, takes the sedative or drinks the sedative, the next time we see him, he's still standing. He's not technically still standing. He's a little, he keeps, you know, but he is still upright, you know. So, but anyway, what else did I have written here? Another thing I need to address. So, when I said that Dougal saves Claire's life twice in this episode, I mean, he did, technically, but, that first time in the hallway, he didn't really save her life because he tried to take advantage of her, too. It was really Claire that got herself out of that situation. So, yeah, I shouldn't have said that he saved her life twice because that's not right. Another thing I didn't say in the episode, but the poor man dying in the forest, his name was Jordy. I don't know if we've ever seen him before, so, you know, I didn't really say his name, but yeah, his name was Jordy. So let's just get on into the episode that we're currently talking about. Again, it's called Rent. It's the fifth episode of the first season. The synopsis says, Claire accompanies Dougal and other clansmen as they travel to various villages and collect rents. She befriends the clan solicitor, Ned Gowan, who accompanies them to deal with records and receipts. She spends much of her time alone as the men gather round the campfires, telling ribald tales, always in Gaelic, so as to exclude her. In the villages, they accept many forms of payment, including money, grain, and livestock. Claire is unsettled by how little the men seem to care for the villagers' well-being and is surprised to see Dougal collecting money with which she believes he's lining his own pockets. She soon learns that the money is for an altogether different purpose. Okay, so this episode, it starts out with Claire reciting a poem. I wrote it down. It goes, absence, hear thou my protestations, against my strength, distance, and length. Do what thou canst for alteration, for heart of truest metal, absence doth still, and time doth settle. And of course, when she's saying this poem, Ned Gowan comes up behind her and starts saying it with her. And so we're introduced to a new character in this way. And so, yeah, he's the little guy that goes on the road with everybody, with Dougal and them to collect rents. So after they are reciting that little poem, you hear chaos in the background, Claire, they look over there, and it's the Highlanders. They're all roughing up this guy, and they're speaking Gaelic to him. And Ned Gowan, of course, translates to Claire that they're teasing the boy about, because it's his first time on the road with them, and they're teasing him about, you know, doing inappropriate things with his sister. And so, but anyway, and then they go on to talk, and Ned Gowan explains to her how they collect the rents, and they do things. And then he starts coughing, and Claire doesn't like the sound of it, and so she gives him something to smoke in his pipe, and he's a little puzzled by, you know, why would you put something in my pipe to help a cough? But she gives him the herb, I think, is called Jimson weed, or she calls it apple thorn, I think. Is it apple? I think so. Anyway, she gives him that to smoke in his pipe, and it helps a great deal, because she later on goes on to say that it would be used for medicinal purposes for asthma. And so, anyway, and then Dougal announces to the camp that pack up, we're leaving. And so the next scene we see them, they're on the road, and they're singing a marching song. And I didn't write this one down. I probably should have, but it was pretty neat to hear all the men singing in unison there. So then we see Claire and Ned riding on their horses, and they're talking about Ned's past, you know, how he used to be a lawyer inside a building, and you know, that got pretty boring for him. And he says to her that so he goes on to explain to her that he met up with a chieftain of the clans to help them do the work he's doing now. And she says that it was Colum that found him, but he explains to her that he's not as young as he looks, that it was actually Colum and Dougal's father, Jacob, that found him to do the work he's doing now. So, and of course, then Claire's voiceover says that she couldn't, that, you know, Ned's company would make her life on the road pleasant. She couldn't let him distract her from her mission to get back to the stones. In the next scene, they're all in front of the campfire, and they're laughing and telling jokes and things, and they're speaking in Gaelic, and they kind of leave Claire out of the conversation, and she says that it didn't bother her that they were making crude jokes, and that her food didn't look very appetizing, and that she would have to sleep in uncomfortable places. But what bothered her most was that the men were deliberately speaking in Gaelic to exclude her from all of this. And Jamie comes up to her and tells her not to worry about what they're saying about her, or what they're saying, because, you know, it's not important. And she says they don't trust her, and he I think he agrees with her or whatever. And then she asks him if he thinks she's a spy, and he says that he doesn't believe she's a spy, but he does know that there's things that she's keeping from everybody, because she did try to run from you know, during the gathering. So he knows that she is hiding something. So in the next scene, this episode moves a little fast, but anyway, in the next scene, they're at the village, and she's, you know, they're collecting the rents and stuff, and Claire gets bored with all that, so she goes off and wanders, and she runs into the women, or she hears women in the distance singing, and the women invite her to do the wool walking, which I loved this scene, because, you know, I love this show's attention to detail and all that. And so, yeah, they're doing the wool walking and everything, and of course Claire joins in with them, and then they all go inside the tent, and they're refreshing, you know, they're drinking so that they can refresh the bucket. And a little baby starts crying, and the woman says that it's because the goat, her husband had to pay their rent with their goat, and the baby is teething, so it won't nurse. And so, anyway, when Claire is going to refill her contribution to the bucket, Angus comes in, and he's really rough with her right here, but he comes in and grabs her by the arm and makes her leave and accuses her of being drunk and all that. She probably is, but, you know, that's besides the point. But then when she goes out there and she wonders why they can't give the goat back to the family because there's a baby starving, and you know, she feels bad for all of that, and but they can't. I mean, that's just the way it was, you know. That's just the way that was payment for the rent. And so she's standing there arguing with Dougal and Angus, and there's a man that comes up and asks her if she's all right. And he's an Englishman, you know, and Dougal, and well, all of the men, they kind of get tense and try to get that guy to leave them alone, and tell him to go away, you know. It's none of his concern, you know. And Claire, you know, at this point, you know, she probably wants to say something, but she doesn't get anybody into trouble. She keeps it but anyway, the guy leaves, and as you see him leaving, he puts on a red coat, and so we know that he's probably, you know, as we see later on in the episode, he shows up again. So in the next scene, they're all in this pub, and they're drinking and everything, and then Dougal goes up to Jamie, or he starts, well, first he's talking in Gaelic to these people, getting them riled up about something. Of course, Claire can't understand what he's saying. And then he goes up to Jamie and, of course, rips his shirt off and exposes his back. And it upsets Jamie and it upsets Claire, you know. And after all that display, people start getting up to give money to Dougal. For whatever reason, and at this point Claire doesn't know, but then Dougal, you know, he grabs the shirt and throws it at Claire to mend it, and she says she doesn't want to do it, and throws it back at Dougal, and then Dougal says, well, I'm not gonna do it, and Claire gets up and says, fine, I'll do it, but then of course Jamie comes and snatches it up and walks out the room. So at this point, we don't know what Dougal is raising money for. Claire thinks it's to line his own pockets. So in the next scene, she's talking to Ned by the river and asking him about it, trying to find out more information about it. And he tells her that she would make a good lawyer, but it's a pity that they don't allow women to practice being lawyers. And of course, she mumbles under her breath that it only takes 2 centuries. So in the voiceover, she says that she could feel Dougal can read her, or feels like Dougal can read her mind. That he's just daring her to run, and she could feel that his trust, that or the bond that they had developed from the gathering, you know, from when they helped that man pass away, for him. As a healer, for her as a healer, that they had bond over all of that, and the reason why she's with them on the road, she could feel all that trust slipping away from her, and she's starting to feel trapped and all of that too. And so they have a whole monologue scene, montage scene where she's talking too, and a voiceover of her expressing how she feels trapped in all of this. And so the next scene we see is a couple, and their house is burning down, and there's these men that are robbing them, and of course Jamie, he rides off, makes himself scarce, and we learn that these men are the Watch. And so Dougal rides down and collects, you know, his share of the money or whatever those men have taken from this family. And then of course Murdoch explains to Claire all of this, and she asks where Jamie went, and you know, like I said, Murdoch explains to her that they would turn Jamie in, you know, before anything, you know, so Jamie had to he had to ride off. And then the next scene is them by the campfire, and of course Claire doesn't want to eat the food that Dougal had collected from these men, because she doesn't eat from thieves. And so it upsets it upsets Angus. So Jamie has to get up and defend Claire, and she walks off mad, and Jamie follows her and talks to her and asks her what got into her. Why would you talk to Angus that way? And, you know, Claire was like, you know, well, Angus can kiss my English ass and all of that. And excuse my language. Anyway, it happened in the episode, sorry. But anyway, so Jamie tries to give her advice not to judge things that she doesn't understand, you know, and to just stay out of it. And so, you know, he leaves. The next scene we see they're at a new village, and they are collecting rents again. And of course, this village is a little bit more poor than the last village, because this place has been, I think they've been hit by the same men, or maybe it was the Redcoats that had hit this village. And so they, Dougal, instead of taking payment in this village, he actually offers some of the villagers some of their profit that they've been collecting throughout the other villages. So, you know, he's helping them out. And so they have another meeting at the next the next night, or that same night. They have a meeting, the same ones that they've been having, where, you know, Dougal rips Jamie's shirt from his back, and this time Claire understands what Dougal is doing. She, you know, he's collecting money for the Jacobite cause, and so it helps Claire understand a little better, I think. And of course, you know, she does have that flashback of Frank and the old man, that the old priest, that his name is escaping me, but anyway, they're talking about the Jacobite rising and you know, the Battle of Culloden. So Claire has a new understanding of what's going on, and it shifts her mood or her feelings towards the Highlanders. You know, she starts to feel probably a little bit more sympathy, because she actually knows the outcome of what happens to in Culloden. So the next scene, Claire hears Dougal and Jamie arguing over his back, and she hears them talking about why his back is being used, and Jamie is upset. But of course, you know, Dougal says that they want the same thing, or he questions if Jamie wants the king back on the throne where he belongs. And then, of course, Jamie says that his back is his own concern, and but Dougal says not, you know, of course not while you're traveling with him, because, you know, he made that oath to Colum that while his feet rest on Mackenzie land, he would be obedient. So this upsets Jamie, of course, and he starts hitting the tree, and then Claire goes down there to talk to Jamie. And so Claire is wondering why Jamie lets Dougal do what he does to him, and Jamie explains that that Dougal is his uncle, and that a man has to choose what's worth fighting for. And so after they part ways, the next morning, the men are cleaning up the camp and packing up for, you know, to go to their next destination. And Claire actually sees them, like I said, in a new light, not as criminals, but as rebels, you know, fighting for their cause. And she wishes there was something she could do to, you know, warn them, at least, at the very least, that they're fighting a lost cause. But there's nothing she can do, really. And then mostly throughout this whole episode, when they're transitioning from scene to scene, they're showing the landscape of Scotland. And it is just so, so beautiful. This show, it films on location, so it's just, Scotland is beautiful. I would love to be able to go there someday. So the next scene that we see, is the people that they find on the road that have been crucified on the crosses there. And you can tell that these people were not done this way by the watch, that they were actually done this way by the redcoats, because they had the T on their, you know, engraved into their chest to symbolize that they were traitors. So Dougal tells them to cut them down and give them a proper burial. And this scene right here helps solidify or make you understand why Dougal is doing what he's doing. Because, you know, the redcoats are evil people, most of them, for the most part. They're cruel to the Scottish people anyways. So it helps you understand why the uprising had to happen. And it, you know, you understand where Dougal is actually coming from in this scene. So in the next scene, you see him they're at another gathering to get collect money. And Dougal doesn't even have to rip Jamie's shirt off this time, because he tells them what they saw on the road. And people just start giving their money to Dougal for the Jacobite cause. So the next scene, this is where they're actually staying inside an inn. And the next scene we see is Claire laying in her bed, and she hears noise outside her door, and she gets up to go check on what it is, and she opens the door and she trips over Jamie. This is like, I think, the second time we've seen Claire trip over Jamie in the total series. But he was being a gentleman. He was staying out there to make sure that nothing happened to her. And of course, she says that she didn't think anybody would want to do anything with an English woman anyway. But Jamie needed to stay out there and make sure she was okay. And of course, she invites him in, you know, to stay in, you know, where it's warmer. And he couldn't do that because, you know, it would ruin her reputation. And but she asks him, you know, you slept under the stars with me before. And he's like, but it's not the same thing. So, you know, this is just Jamie trying to be a gentleman, which, you know, when I watched it the first time, you know, I thought he was being a gentleman. He is being a gentleman. Let me rephrase that. But this time watching it, I kind of noticed, what if Jamie really, I mean, I'm pretty sure Jamie really did want to go into that room, but he didn't. So the next morning she gets up and she's walking down the stairs, and of course she passes Jamie, and they have the little exchange. The bonding between them two, and like the chemistry between them two, it's growing. You know, we already knew that from previous episodes, but you know, this one's, they're bonding in this episode too. But anyway, so she sits down with Ned, and they're talking about, Claire's asking him why he let her believe that they were thieves instead of what they were really doing. And Ned asks her, so you figured it out, have you? And, of course, Claire tells him what she knows, and so he doesn't believe her, you know. Or, well, he, you know, they're talking, and she's telling him that they're going to lose. And, you know, Ned doesn't believe that, you know. I mean, because, you know, who would? Nobody would believe, you know, that what they're fighting for would be a lost cause. So, but anyways, and there's these men at the other table, though, and they're speaking Gaelic. And, you know, at first, you know, everybody's ignoring them. But they start to say some things, and I'm not sure what it is because I don't speak Gaelic, but I'm pretty sure it was offensive to Claire. And all of our Highland guys, Dougal, Murdaugh, Angus, Rupert, and William, they all get up and they fight these men. And, you know, and they get into, you know, a pretty good fight with them. And then the next scene we see them in is Claire is doctoring up her men. And she's wondering, you know, why did they get into a fight with them? And, of course, Murdaugh explains to her that they were saying not so nice things about her, and they tell her that, you know, we can say what we want to about you, but God help the person who says mean things about you, because you're a guest of the Mackenzies. And so that probably helps them form a better bond, a newfound friendship, and because the next scene we see, they're all packing up to leave again, and Claire, or I think Rupert is telling a story or one of his jokes, and Claire says, you know, her joke about, I believe your left hand gets jealous of your right. And, you know, and then Rupert says that I've never heard a woman make a joke like that before. And so they all have a good laugh over that. And so Jamie points out that it's a few days ride till they cross Culloden Moor. And so Claire has that memory flashback or flash forward, whatever, however you want to look at it. She's remembering with Frank, anyway, visiting that grave site or that battleground site, and with all the tombstones there. And she sees the Clan Mackenzie, and she's wondering which men or if all of them were buried in that site. So the next scene we see, they're all setting up camp, and Claire wants to go and wash. And so she goes down to the river, and Dougal comes down there and talks to her and questions who she really is, that she would, you know, she's from Oxfordshire and all of that. And then the Redcoats come. The man that we saw earlier in the episode, he's brought his fellow soldiers to, you know, to check on Claire, you know. And again, Dougal tries to tell them that she's a guest of the Clan Mackenzie, and they're not buying it this time. Of course, the soldier introduces himself as Jeremy Foster, and Dougal introduces himself as Dougal Mackenzie to him. And then he asks Claire again if she's all right. But of course, the episode ends. It cuts off right there before she can even answer. So we have to wait and see what Claire actually says next. So yeah, that was the end of the episode. I think I covered everything in the episode, so I don't really have any general thoughts. If I forgot something, I'll bring it up in the next episode. So stay tuned for trivia. Okay, so I have two pieces of trivia. Number one, Claire recites the poem that time and absence proves, rather helps than hurts to love, by John Donne. And of course, I recited that for y'all in the first of the episode. Number two, and this is probably a little spoiler alert, so, but like I said, this whole podcast is full of spoilers, so, but anyway. Number two was, the walking wool is a process of beating a woven length against a wooden surface to soften the fibers. Human urine was used in the process until quite recently. The ammonia in the urine strips the natural oils from the wool, which is what causes the stiffness, and in so doing helps the dye set into the fibers, as the lady explains to Claire. Special songs with the right rhythm for hand-walking were often sung by the people as they worked. The song these ladies are singing is called Monian Don Ho Gu, which is a slight foreshadowing to Jamie and Claire's wedding night when he calls her Monian Don, meaning my brown-haired lass. So yeah, that's all the trivia I have, so y'all stay tuned for the news. Okay, so there's not much in the news, except for the big news I shared with y'all in the last episode about Season 7, but I do have some update info for you. SAS Red Notice can be bought or rented on Amazon Prime. Also, if you guys have Netflix, Outlander seasons 1 through 4 can be streamed there. And that's actually where I watch my episodes, you know, to get caught up with. So anyway, stay tuned for listener feedback. Have any listener feedback for y'all tonight? But I did ask some questions on my Facebook group. And so I'm going to answer them. One was, what do you think of the new character Ned Gowan and Willie? I love them. I think they're going to be great characters in the future episodes. Number two was, when did you realize Dougal was collecting money for the Jacobite cause? I realized when Claire did, to be honest. And then number three, the men were being extra mean to Claire. Did it upset you? And of course, it did for me. But when you realize why, the whole episode shifts. And then number four, did you find the whole walking wool scene fascinating, like the show's attention to detail? Yes, I love how much work the cast and crew put into this show by showing the way things were done back then. Number five, did it shock you when Dougal ripped Jamie's shirt in front of everyone? Yes, you almost hate Dougal for it. I understand why he did it, but he should have asked Jamie if it was all right before he did it. Number six, what are your thoughts on the beautiful landscapes of Scotland used in this show? I said, Scotland is beautiful. Someday I hope to go there. Number seven, which Highlander is your favorite by the end of this episode? Definitely Murdoch for me. And then, of course, number eight, I'll ask again by the end of this episode, how did you feel about Dougal? By the end of this episode, I had a new respect for Dougal, but, you know, a lot of people don't like him, but I don't really have that big of a problem with Dougal. So, yeah, that's all the feedback I have. Gonna wrap up this episode. If y'all need to get in touch with me, of course, my email is talkingaboutfunthings@yahoo.com. My Twitter is talkingaboutfu1. And my Facebook is www.facebook.com/groups/talkingaboutfunthings. And so that's going to wrap up this episode. Y'all keep having fun.